service, they ought to be good and warmed up after singing for an hour and a half down yonder in Morganton. They'll be ready to come back and sing tonight. And the Parker fan will be here, and a bunch of other people will be here just ready to sing and ready to listen. So I hope that you'll be here tonight. You need to get in on these Sunday night services. You miss a lot of church if all of you comes on Sunday morning. You seem like we just break the ice on Sunday morning. We come back Sunday night, we're ready to have a service. And so come on back tonight. You just get the little introduction on Sunday morning. You need to get the Sunday night services. That may not be a custom to you, but it needs to become one. Come one. That's the time to come. If you about had your choice, you'd about be better off come Sunday night instead of Sunday morning, but you ought to come both. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Turn to, in your Bibles, to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. That's the fifth book in the Bible. Of course, none means number 5. Word does. And we'll look in Deuteronomy chapter number 7 at a verse of Scripture this morning. Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Now, I'm going to use this verse I've preached from many, many times before in different places, but I maybe use it a little bit different this morning. And the truth of this verse is a truth that's taught throughout Scripture, and it's this. If you sin, there you pay for your sin. And I know we don't like to think about that, especially in this modern generation that we're living in. This generation that we're living in says, you do whatever you want to, there's no consequences. But I want you to listen to what the Bible has to say about that. Verse 9. Deuteronomy 7, 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him, and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate Him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth Him. He will repay him to his face. See that? It said He will not be slack to him that hateth Him. He'll repay him to his face. Well, that's a picture of a sinner standing in front of God one day, and God paying him back to his face. I used the illustration the other night. One of the most well-known, admired men in America right now is named Ted Turner. Ted Turner is the owner, operator, president, whatever, of CNN. That's the largest news, cable news network in America. And literally has millions of people glued to the television set every day seeing what CNN's going to say. The man pushing that thing is a man by the name of Ted Turner. His values are easily reflected. When you see these so-called open forums where this woman or somebody will stand and they'll say, we're going to have an open debate, we're going to let people express their views on abortion and express their views on that. Listen, that thing is as rigged as a small town election. It's planned ahead of time how that thing's going to go. The questions are run out ahead of time. And the view that wants to be pushed by that program. That's simple. And if you think that's the way America feels about the issue, you're being fooled. And Ted Turner said this. Let me tell you what Ted Turner said about Jesus Christ and about Christians. He said the Christians who opposed abortions were bozos and looked like idiots. He said, talking about Jesus Christ, quote, I don't want anybody to die for me. I don't want nobody dying for my sins. I've had a few drinks and a few girlfriends, and if that's going to put me in hell, so be it. That's what he said. Now, God taped that on a recorder when he said that. And one day when Ted Turner stands before God at the judgment, he'll fall on his knees and he'll say, "Oh God, please God, have mercy on me." And God's going to say, "Play the tape." And he's going to say, No, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it." And God's going to say, "Play the tape." And it's going to quote him saying, "I don't want nobody dying for my sins. I've had a few drinks and a few girlfriends. That's going to put me in hell. So be it." And God's going to say, "Run the tape." And they're going to play it. And he'll say, "I'll repay you to your face, Ted." Or as I said the other night, God's already getting him. He's already paying for his sins. He's married to Jane Fonda. That's close to hell as you could get in this world. Smile, God loves you. Have a nice day. Wouldn't you hate to be stuck with some floose like that? That'd be horrible to be married to somebody. I'd hate to marry a woman who wouldn't even take my name, man. Wouldn't even take my name. That's awful. Here's these women saying, "Well, I want to be independent. I'm not going to take no man's name." You nut, you've got your daddy's name. He's a man. Won't you just quit listening to them demons and ask God to give you some sins. Give you some sins. That ain't going to kill you. It ain't going to hurt you. Some of you done bailed out on me right there, and I was just getting started. Now, the Bible said, sin now, pay later. I don't care who you are. I don't care how famous you are, how popular you are. You sin now, you pay later. That's the way it goes. Presidents, rulers, kings, governors, those who are in authority, preachers, anybody. We do wrong, I do wrong, I pay. If you do wrong, you pay. That's all they are to it. God said, you will reap what you sow. God said, be sure your sin will find you out. I'll guarantee you there's somebody here this morning. I promise you. Listen to me. There's somebody here this morning. You were in some kind of awful sin this weekend. Friday night, if I knew what you did Friday night, you wouldn't even look up here. You'd be ashamed to even look at me. But you think, well, he don't know it, and she don't know it. My mama don't know it. Maybe my husband or wife don't even know it. But let me tell you who knows it. God knows it. And it's going to come out on you. It's going to come out on you. Like this boy one time, he's teaching his daddy, or the little daddy was teaching a little boy how to steal taters out of the garden. He said, "Now, son, when you go out here to steal these taters," he said, "you dig in there like that to steal them." And he said, "What you do first is you look that way, and you look that way, and you look that way, that way. Nobody's looking. You reach in the ground, steal a tater." And daddy kind of pulled, or the little boy pulled on his daddy's coat and he said, "Daddy, you didn't look that way." So every time you look, well, nobody looking. Well, ain't nobody looking. It's dark. I'm in the car. The radio's on. Nobody's looking. You look up. He's looking. He's looking at you this morning. He's looking at you. He knows what you're doing. He knows your low-down ways. He knows what you're doing. Buddy, you pay for sin. I saw somebody had on a shirt one time, and it said, it was a kind of joke, and it said, "Sin now, pray later." And the idea was, just live it up, man. You can ask forgiveness any old time. But the truth is this morning, it's sin now, pay later. You'll pay later. The world says, just sow your wild oats, and the crop will never come in. But you will pay for sin. You pay for sin three ways. Number one, you pay for sin in your mind. Your mind, you pay for sin. You know it's true. One of the first and most painful, I might add, ways you pay for sin is in your mind. You worry, what if they find out? I talked to an individual recently who had committed adultery. And this individual told me, he said, the whole time I was with this other woman, other than my wife, he said, my mind was saying, no, 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 this is wrong, this is wrong. He said, I thought I was going crazy. He said, I thought I was losing my mind. And that's what sin does to you. You see, they paint a pretty picture on TV, act like you can just sin and there's no consequence. But in real life, your mind starts working. I saw a track one time about this big right here, and had a picture of a young lady. And this young lady was sitting with her arms folded over her knees like that, with her head down. And the title of the track was, I Am Going Crazy with Guilt. And the young lady was saying that she had got out, she had lived a promiscuous lifestyle, she had gotten involved in sin, and because of that, her mind was driving her crazy. She couldn't hardly stand it. She thought she was losing my mind. I had a young lady sit over there in my office one day. She told me she had also been involved with a man who was married. You see, people think they can break the rules and get the person they want and be happy. You can't do it. You cannot break the rules and get the person you want and be happy. You might break the rules and get the person you want, but you will not be happy. The only way you can be happy is let God give you that person you want. And if God don't give them to you and it's not right, you best just forget about it and leave them alone. And she's in over there in my office. She would cry. She said, Brother Danny, I think I'm going to lose my mind. I think I'm going crazy. I can't stand it. I'm going crazy with guilt. You take a young lady who messes up and gets and becomes pregnant, and she has an abortion. They've done a survey recently of 150 high school girls. 150 got pregnant. 9 babies were born. 150 girls pregnant, 9 babies born. That's 141 had an abortion. You know what they thought? They thought, well, rather than have this unwanted child, I'll just end its life and go on like nothing happened. What they don't realize is that two wrongs never make a right. And they live with that guilt of becoming pregnant outside of marriage. And then they also have to live with the guilt of taking the life of their baby. You think about that. That would be horrible. They go into a grocery store. They see a woman with a baby. They think about their baby. They wonder if it was a boy or a girl. They wonder if it would kiss their neck. They can see it, hear it say, Mommy. They can see it reaching for it. All their life, they live with that guilt. And let me tell you something, people. Once you commit a sin, you can't go back and undo it. You can't come back and say, well, it's on your record. It's done. It's there. You just have to live and reap the consequences. Oh, if you young people could see that this morning. If you could hear the stories that I hear. If you could see the tears shed. If you could get the telephone calls that I get. People saying, I messed up, preacher. I messed up, preacher. What in the world am I going to do? I'd give anything if I hadn't done it. You've got a chance this morning to keep your record clean. You've got a chance to do right. For heaven's sake, keep your record right and don't get out and sin because you pay for it with your mind. Many a crime has been confessed at the police station because the people couldn't live with the guilt that they had. Let me tell you something about sin. Sin is sneaky. Sin is sneaky. Sin is like poison. If I set down a glass this morning and it was solid battery acid and you just smelled it, you wouldn't drink of it. You'd say, no, I'm going to leave that alone. That'll kill you. That's the way we picture gross, right out sin. But you know how you poison somebody? You just lace their drink with a little bit of poison where you can't even taste it. The most dangerous drink is not The most dangerous drink is not the battery acid. The most dangerous drink that tastes is the one that tastes good but has a little bit of poison laced in it. Now that's why, let me give you an example. I've got an article here that I want to read you. That's why people say, buddy, I'll tell you one thing. I don't watch them old pornography films and I don't go, that stuff is filth. That stuff is trash. You're right. That's the battery acid. I'll tell you what you do. You watch Roseanne. Roseanne, I can't say it because I'd be cussing. You wouldn't like me no more. I'm going to tell you, brother, I've never watched Roseanne's show in my life. One side of her, man, makes me want to throw up. But I'm going to quote you what she had on her show recently. November the 2nd. On ABC was the Roseanne Barr Show. I reckon it's just called Roseanne. I reckon that's the name of it.
This was the third time the network aired this program. Now, I'll tell you how sneaky sin is. Now, please do not get mad at me, okay? If you get mad at me, it's not because of anything I've done. It's because of stuff that you do. So you should not get mad at me. I didn't do nothing. I'm just telling you what was on the show. So if you drink poison, don't get mad at me. You know, you need to change your lifestyle. Roseanne said this. Third time it was been on. It was an anti-Christian program. Anti-Christian, against God, against the Bible. You want me to tell you what it was about? It was one of the worst attacks on the Christian faith that anybody's ever seen. What it was, Dan and Roseanne, I don't know if that's her husband or whatever, discover that 12-year-old DJ has been spending his afternoons away, and they don't know where he's been during the afternoon time. He's 12 years old. They get Darlene, his college-age sister, who's shacking up with her boyfriend. They get her to follow him. They say, now you follow DJ in the picture here, in the show. You follow DJ and find out where he's been going in the afternoons. She comes back and she says, quote, it's worse than you thought. Oh, Mama, it's worse than anything you could think of. The little nut is going to church. That's your little poison in your drink. You say, preacher, I never watch them old Sin to the Max. I never watch Hell's Box Office. I never. Yeah, but that little poison of sin is what pollutes people's minds. Watch this. When DJ confirms Darlene's report, Roseanne insists to DJ, she says, why are you going to that church? You can ask us anything you want to know about God. DJ's question, what religion are we, Mom? Quote, I have no idea, she snarls. Roseanne answers a phone call about that time and arranges for the caller to see a new stove for sale at her diner. She says she won it in a game show. The truth is that the company that she bought a stove from mistakenly delivered two stoves instead of one. Her son DJ's been going to church trying to get his life straightened out, find God. And she's got two stoves because the company just made a mistake and delivered her two instead of one. So somebody calls on the phone. She said, yeah, I got this stove, brand new stove for sale. I won it on a game show. DJ asked his mom, you was never on any game show. She says, quote, I was too on a game show, and if you didn't spend all your time down there at that blank church, you'd know that. Who's that sound like? Bus kids' parents? Kids and people's not saved? You didn't go down that blankety-blank church all the time. This is primetime ABC television. Get on there and say something about a blank homosexual place and see what happens. You'd start a war. We're the persecuted minority these days. Brother, the Bible-believing Christians. She says this. Later, DJ asked Roseanne why she always makes him lie about his age when they go to the movies. So, of course, he can get in for what a kid pays. And she laughs, it's more money for us to give to charity. Finally, DJ declares, I don't think Darlene, that's his sister, and David should be having sex without being married. David's her live-in boyfriend. And DJ says, I don't think they ought to be doing that, Mom. Roseanne and Dan both refuse to address the issue. Darlene changes the subject by suggesting DJ ask Mom about the stoves she's stealing. So the daughter says, well, don't talk about me shacking up my boyfriend. What about Mama stealing that stove? Roseanne said the company gave it to her, and that's nothing to a big company who blankety-blanks people like her all the time. Roseanne sells the stove and divides the money with her partners. Confronted by DJ, even as they divide the spoil, Roseanne screams at her child. He said, Mama, you shouldn't do this. It's right. She screams at him. She says, get off my back. Even God took a day off. Leon, Roseanne's homosexual business partner in the show, observes, the guy who brought the stove now, listen, or the guy who come and got the stove, or brought the stove, her business partner says, that guy's cute. Wait till he finds out he's gay. That's poison. You know, it's getting bad to where a man can't even deliver a stove at a house without the other man in there lusting after it. I tell you, buddy, I stop at rest areas. Sometimes I think, I believe I ought to go in the women's bathroom. It's safer. Amen. I didn't think one of them whacked me over the head with an umbrella or something. I mean, because, man, you don't know. You don't know now when some man's got a crush on you. That's the day we're living in. He said, I was born this way. You wasn't born that way. It's a conscious choice that you make. You might have been naturally a little sissified, but you choose your course of action and you're recruited by a lifestyle. Here it goes. Simply put, the story is that of a young boy searching for a moral anchor. He raises the issues of lying, cheating, stealing, and teenage sex, and on every point he is ridiculed, made fun of, and made to feel like an idiot for thinking there's anything wrong with him. That's poison, brother. That's poison. Oh, you never do nothing like that. Do you know what that's conditioning your mind? You talk about being brainwashed, son. You talk about being right. You just hear it constantly, see it constantly, hear it constantly, see it constantly. Little by little, you'll begin to think, oh, well, what is the big deal? As long as it don't hurt the company, I steal from them a little bit. They'll never miss it. All of that, you see, that's where that philosophy comes from. The truth is, you sin now, you pay later. You sin now, you pay later. I'll never forget one night. 3:00 in the morning, my phone rung. I answered the phone, said hello. Somebody said, Danny. And I said, yeah, who is this? He said his name. He said, Danny. I said, what do you need? He said, I need you to pray for me. He was in San Francisco, California, in a bar. He said, Danny, I come and heard you preach one morning. He said, I sat back up there in the old building. He said, I sat back here and listened to you preach. He said, Danny, pray for me. Got a lot of problems. I said, man, what's wrong? He said, I got a lot of problems. Pray for me. And I did pray for him. In a few minutes, we hung up and he called me back and talked. See, it, you know, 3 hours different out there. 3:00 in the morning here. He began to talk. He began to kind of come to the phone. And brother, I talked to that boy. I said, man, you messed up. You know what he said? He said, I can still see you pointing your finger at me. He said, I should have went up there. I should have went up and got saved. You say, whatever happened to him, preacher? He went out there and got his life involved in all kinds of sin. Come back here and lay in the bed over yonder. Died with AIDS and a miserable, horrible death because that young man, and I'm not happy that happened. It breaks my heart. My heart goes out to him, and I believe he did get his life right with God before he died. But let me tell you what that young man refused to live. He refused to believe that if you sin, you pay. 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 If I sin, I pay. If you sin, you pay. You pay in your mind. You pay in your body. They said, I talked to a young man, the soldiers did. He was in a wheelchair with some kind of crippling disease, STD, sexually transmitted disease. And they asked him, they said the chaplain had him there, sitting in a wheelchair. And he told him, he said, boys, it's not worth my sin. 15 minutes of sin put me here. That's what it does to your body. Did you know God has designed your body in such a way that if you switch around and have different sex partners, it'll get you with a disease? Did you know God fixed it that way? God has fixed it. It's a scientific, proven medical fact that, brother, people who swap around like that wind up with physical problems that always get you in your body. gets you in your mind. It gets you in your body. You will not sin against by. You say, well, Brother Danny, all these girls at school, you know, I'm the only virgin and they make fun of me. Listen, girl, you stick your head up and you got everything in the world to be proud of. You look in there and say, thank God, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm clean and I'm saving myself for that young man that God wants me to marry one of these days. It's old-fashioned, but it's still good, ain't it? Amen? It's still the best way to go, and it's still the smartest way to go. You say, boy, you're sure out of touch with this generation. Hallelujah. You're in touch with this generation. You need to do something wrong with your brains. Your brain's messed up. The Bible said that David committed adultery, stole a man's wife. You know what happened to him? A little bit later on, he said his loins was filled with a loathsome disease. A disease got him. You get out here drinking, fooling around on drugs and stuff like that, you don't know what you're doing, where you've been, who you've been around. What? You're just like playing with a loaded gun, brother. You're just like playing with a loaded gun. Takes a fool. And lastly, you pay for sin in your soul. The wages of sin is death. Just like payday on the job. There'll be a debt you'll never get paid. An eternal sin against an eternal God must be paid for with an eternal payment. The rich man lift up his eyes in hell. About a man. Somebody used to ask me to pray for him down there near Statesville. They said every time they'd talk to that man, they'd try to get him witness to him, talk to him about God. And he said, get away from me. I don't want to hear it. I'm sick of that stuff. Don't you Bible me all the time. He said, I don't want to hear that stuff. Don't talk to me about church. He said, I'll go to hell before I'll give up my women and my liquor. Wasn't long after that till his sin started catching up with him. He's in the hospital bed down there in Statesville. And he's up, and he started dying. And he's up on the bed like this in his knees and had his pillow like this and had his face down in his pillow. And they said he's screaming over and over and over saying, God, can't you do something for me? God, can't you do something for me? He wasn't asking to be saved. He's talking about his pain in his body was so bad because of all his sin. He's just saying, God, can't you do something for me? God, can't you do something for me? And brother, that man went out to meet God just like that. You know what he said some months before that? He said, I'll go to hell before I give up my women and my liquor. And that man's been there several years this morning, already in hell, already screaming, already burning, already saying, God, get me out. God, no! God, please! God, I'm burning! God! But he can't never get out. He can't never get out. You pay for sin forever and ever and ever in hell. You can't get out. You think about that. You think about that. You say, well, I'm going to party and live it up. You think if you lived in sin for 40 years, if you lived in sin for 50 years, let's say you started sinning when you was 10 years old, lived in sin for 50 years till you was 60 years old, and you partied every day of your life, and you got drunk or got high or had a different man or a woman every day of your life and had all kinds of money, would it be worth it for 50 years? Would it be worth it? Die, go to hell, you're there 100 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years, 1 million years, 10 million years, 100 million years, and another 100 million years, and another 100 million years. Would it be worth it? Would it be worth it for 50 years of so-called fun in this world? Listen, the greatest trick the devil has ever pulled on this world is that the price on sin is not that bad. The price you pay for sin is 10 million times greater than the fun or the joy that sin brings. Sin will give you a little thrill. Sin will give you a little fun. Sin will give you a little joy or peace or maybe a little bit of happiness in your flesh. But it is not worth the 10 million times of payment that you pay for sin when you're out in eternity one day without God. You listening? Listening, I heard about a young lady just this week who used to really live it up right here in town in Marion. Now she's paying. She's not dead yet. But she's paying. I've heard about people and been to see people in the hospital. Over at say, well, I've done something bad and nothing happened to me. Nothing ain't happened yet, you mean. God waited 120 years before the flood came. People think because something don't happen right just like that God's, all that is God's long suffering, giving you a chance to repent. Can I ask you a question this morning? Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you saved this morning? I mean, do you know if you died today that your sins are forgiven and you go to heaven? Do you know that? It don't matter if you like me or not, like our church or not. It's got nothing to do with it. It's got nothing to do with it. The question is, if you died today, are you absolutely sure that your soul would go to heaven when you leave this world? If you're not, you need to get them sins forgiven. And I'm talking about today. I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about right now on this altar. People say, well, how do I know it's my time to get saved? Maybe God wants me to wait. Listen, man, it's blasphemy to think God wants you to spend another day in sin. God don't want you to sin another day. He wants you to get right today, to come to Him. People say, well, maybe God wants me to wait a while. God don't want you to live today in sin and tomorrow in sin, the next day in sin. He said today is the day of salvation. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You need to walk down here this morning, put your life on this altar, and say, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you need to do it today. You need to do it today. Come and let Jesus wash all your sins away. If you don't, there's a payday someday. 10 million times worse than you ever thought it could be. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Every head's bowed. Every eye's closed. There'll be a payday someday. One of these days, friend, payday's coming. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one moving around. I want to ask you just a very simple question. I don't mean to, please don't be mad at me this morning. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, or I wouldn't want to make you embarrassed for nothing in the world. I love you. But God wants to do something for somebody here this morning. I believe that. I believe somebody here this morning, God's spoken definitely to your heart, or you wouldn't even be here. God may be giving you this last warning, buddy. He's put up with you and put up with you and put up with you. Now He's saying, friend, this is it. This is your chance. Is there a young person, mama or daddy, here today? Say, Brother Danny, I'm not sure. My sins are not forgiven. I don't know where I'd go if I died today. But I do. I want you and the church to pray for me. Please, would you pray for me this morning when you pray? Would you just slip up your hand and let us pray for you this morning? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. About four hands. Amen. God bless you. Anybody else? Amen. Raise your hand. Amen. Thank you. You can put them down. We're going to pray for you this morning. We're not going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to try to drag you to the altar. We just want to pray for you this morning. Why don't you get that thing right, friend? Why don't you get it right? One of these days it's going to be too late. One of these days you're going to have to start paying for them sins. And oh, what a terrible, terrible price there is to pay for sin. My, you'll wish to God you'd have never been born. If you die in your sin and go to hell, you'll wish God would have killed you when you was a kid.
if you die in your sins and go to hell. It is not worth it. Whatever it is that's holding you back, it is not worth it. The Lord wants to help you this morning. Will you let Him? Father, please speak to these. Lord, especially these that lifted their hands. God, I can't move for them. If I could, I would. I try to preach to them and pray for them and do everything I can. Lord, we know, God, that step is up to them. We know, Lord, You're not going to make them. Lord, You said come. I pray they'd do just that this morning. That Your Spirit would speak to their hearts. And the Holy Ghost of God will bring conviction. Lord, settle it in our own hearts as only You can do. God will praise You and thank You for it. Do the work now that only the power of God Almighty can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.